Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
The second week of our Stronger series. Everybody say Stronger. Turn to the person next to you and say you need to be stronger. Turn to the person on the other side of you, your second choice, and say, you too. Listen, we are living in a world that values strength and power. Everywhere we turn, we hear people talking about getting stronger physically. Every time I open Facebook, every time I open Instagram, every time I look at anything online, everybody's talking about drink this and you'll lose fat. Drink this and do this CrossFit, do this exercise, and you're going to strengthen your core. I'm sorry, guys, I am just not that guy. I've got a core and it's fluffy. And it's going to remain fluffy a little bit, okay? But physically, we're talking about being stronger financially. We need to be financially responsible, and we need to make sure that our country is financially responsible. Amen? Yeah, well, that's about the best amen I've heard in a while. But we also need to be stronger relationally with one another, between wife and husband, husband and wife, parents and children. We need to make sure that we're stronger relational. Everywhere we look, we hear about things like this. I'm here to tell you that this stronger mentality is something that we also need in our spiritual lives. We can make sure that this body is strong. We can make sure our relationships are strong. We can make sure our finances are strong. But if we do not have a spiritually strong, faith, it's not worth anything. Are you with me? I'm here to tell you that we need that. We need that stronger mentality in our spiritual lives. We as Christians are living in a spiritually hostile world where our faith and our relationship with God is attacked on a regular basis. We turn around and we hear online and we hear on TV or on whatever podcast we're listening to, and people criticize Christians, they criticize pastors, they criticize followers of Jesus, and they talk about their faith, and they talk about how they don't believe in anything, or they don't act out on what they believe. High schoolers and college students are regularly attacked on their campuses because of their Christian beliefs. Churches and denominations are ridiculed because of their doctrine and their beliefs, repeatedly criticized because of their teachings about the Holy Spirit. If I stood there and I told them those stories about Pastor Emilio praying for these people and them being healed, they would look at me and say, "You're crazy and you're lying. You're either crazy or you're lying, but it's one of the two." Because they don't have faith. They don't have that. They don't believe in that. If we as a Big C church do not grow stronger by building on the foundation of Christ, gaining greater understanding and wisdom from Scripture, and strengthening our faith and thus our relationship with Christ, we run the risk of being overrun by secular humanism in this world. Let me shorten that down. That's a long run-on sentence. Okay, let me put it in PAV, Pastor Aaron version. If you don't know what you believe, you're not going to be able to stand. And it's more than just believing it. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "You do more than believe." It's more than just believing it. We've got to go further than that. If we are not actively growing stronger in relationship with Christ, we are in danger of having our faith stolen from us in this world. People will try to convince you that it's not God that's helping you, but you help yourself. People will try to convince you that God is, if there is a God, that He's just sort of left us alone to our own devices. And we've got to take care of ourselves. They'll try to convince you of that. Our foundation as a church, the Big C church, our foundation is Christ. We talked about this last week. He is our rock. He is our fortress. Our lives are meant to rest solely on His shoulders and on Him as the cornerstone of our lives. This was the whole message last week. But this week, I want us to grow stronger in Christ by rediscovering faith. Now, when I say rediscovering faith, many of you are sitting there going, well, I don't know what that means, Pastor Aaron. What do you mean rediscovering faith? I know what faith is. Faith, and you could probably quote the scripture that I'm going to give you today. Many of you may not understand what I mean when I say that. As I look around in our world today and as I speak to Christians and non-Christians alike, I often hear the same thing when I ask questions. We hear people, do you know Jesus? And they say, well, I have faith in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I got saved and I was baptized when I was 3 years old. And the Holy Spirit really touched my life, and we pray about this, and we think, well, I served God when I was 8 years old, and I did this, and I did all of that, and we sit there, and we hear all that from Christians and non-Christians alike, but do they really believe? Do they really believe that Jesus Christ is Savior? If you ask someone today, what is faith? The most common answer that you're going to hear is to believe in something. If this is the case, then I have a lot of things that I have faith in. I have faith in my truck. Because if I believe that I'm going to take my key and stick it into the ignition and turn that key, I have faith that that truck's going to start. I believe that that truck is going to start. I believe that if I stand in the middle of the road and get hit by a car, it's not going to feel good. Right? Are you with me? It's not going to feel good if I do that. I believe that if DJ came over here and I held a stake down in the ground and we were building something, or we were putting up a tent, and I was holding a stake and I said, hit that stake, and he reared back with a sledgehammer and came down on my wrist, I believe... Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that I would probably shout a little bit. I believe that there would be some words that would want to come out of my mouth that probably should not be there. I'm human, y'all. It's not saying that I would. But I'm just going to be real with you. That I would want to look at him and say, what are you doing? And I would want to scream and I would want to holler. I would get in on him. And it was probably my fault for holding the stake in the wrong place. But I would try to correct him in those things. I believe that would hurt. I believe that when I eat powdered donuts, I heard Claire go, uh-oh. I believe that when I eat powdered donuts, that the calories just disappear. I've got faith, y'all. Don't laugh at me. There's a difference between having faith and being delusional. Even in church, we have reduced faith to a magic lamp that we rub. We grab our Bible and we go, God, money cometh. I remember an evangelist that came to visit us when we were at a church in Florida. And he was riding in the car with me. And he was a young guy. And we drove past this camper. We drove past a camper, and he looked at it and said, in the name of Jesus, I claim that. And I'm sitting there going, brother, what are you doing? And he said, well, he said, we need to claim things as though those things that are not on something and say, this is mine in the name of Jesus, and then walk away with the keys. Are you with me? God can provide supernaturally, but God also uses physical things in our lives to make a difference. Amen? I remember we've reduced it to a magic lamp or an incantation that Harry Potter would be so proud of. Faithus, receivus. Those of you that have seen the movies, you know where I'm talking about. We sit there and we talk about all these things. We quote scriptures and we lay hands on things and we make claims without ever understanding what faith really is. Anybody remember when you first got saved? Your faith was like, boom, through the roof. I'm sorry, I keep pulling my shirt down. But your faith was all through the roof, and you're like, you were believing God for anything and everything to happen. But now we sit there and we say, yeah, I believe God can do that. Yeah, I believe God can do that. I believe it. But the thing is, we have lost what faith really is. Fortunately, the writer of Hebrews gives us a very simple definition of what faith is in Hebrews 11, 1 through 3, and also verse 6. We're going to jump to it in just a second. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. For by it being faith, by it the people of old received their commendation. In other words, receive their testimony. I want to talk about that in just a little bit. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. And then in verse 6, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Now, what I want us to understand today is that faith is more than just substituting our personal reality for the situation that we're living in. You cannot exchange realities. If I break my leg, I don't walk around going, my leg ain't broke. I cannot exchange that reality. If I cut my hand, I can't walk around going, no, I don't see no blood, and there's blood just dripping out of my hand. I can't exchange that reality. What we have to do is we have to do something else, though. We can't exchange that personal reality for the physical one that we're walking through. What we need to do is we need to rediscover that faith comes first. Then there's action that comes behind it. Faith comes first. That's the first thing we need to understand. And then also, these are the three things I'm going to talk to you about today. Faith always comes first. The second thing is that there is a difference between faith and belief. Are you with me? Are you ready to dig into this? The third thing is faith is what brings us into relationship with God. The first thing is we need to rediscover that faith is always required before proof is provided. I love the story about the two blind men in Matthew chapter 9. If you haven't read it, you can go to Matthew chapter 9. And here's the story. Basically, Jesus is out teaching and preaching with all of his disciples. And they're out in the crowds. And he's teaching. And he's already done so much in front of everybody. He's traveling through and healing people and teaching people. He's already healed a woman and brought a young girl back from the dead. He's been teaching on fasting and praying during this time. He healed a lame man. And the lame man jumped up and started walking and started doing what he was meant to do. He even added to his ranks in Matthew chapter 9. He even added to his ranks by calling Matthew, otherwise known as Levi. He called him a tax collector to be a part of his crew and to be a part of the men that would follow him around and a part of the people that would follow him around and be his disciple. Then all of a sudden, two men were following him down the road. These men were different than everybody else around him because they were trying to feel their way around. They were trying to go around and they were going, wait, who is this? Who is this? They couldn't see. They were blind. Who is this man? And they would say, it's Jesus of Nazareth. It's the teacher. It's the prophet. He's the one that's here. So what they did was they would holler at him, Jesus, Jesus, wait, Jesus, Jesus, pay attention to us. And they would yell at him. The Bible says that they would yell, have mercy on us, son of David. That phrase, son of David, was another phrase for the Messiah that they would use at times. And these guys recognized, I think it's funny that blind men see who Jesus really is, but those of us that see, we still have a problem recognizing Jesus for who he is. But they would yell at him, mercy, Jesus, please have mercy on us, son of David. And in verse 28, it says, when he entered the house, it's Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. When he entered the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Before Jesus ever touched them, before Jesus ever laid a hand on them, before he did anything, before any light entered their eyes, before they felt the tingle of the Holy Ghost goosebumps crawl up and down their arms, they shouted at him, we believe. He asked them the question, do you believe that I am able? See, that word in the original Greek, that word believe, means something different. It wasn't just belief. It was belief coupled with trust. It was a trust that was even that was there even though there was no proof that something would happen. That's what that word actually meant. It was a trust that even though there was no proof, nothing tangible, that they laid their hopes, their dreams, their faith on Him who was able. This is where we as a modern day Christian get it wrong. We don't answer the question, do you believe I am able? We're too busy wondering, will he? Faith is not about, will he do it? Faith is knowing he is able to do it in the midst of my circumstance, in the midst of my struggle, in the midst of my trial and my situation. God can move in believing that he is able. Are you with me? We don't answer the question, is he able? We want an answer to the question, will he? We become more concerned with the results of our prayers rather than the position of our faith. That's why I love the story of the three Hebrew children. Rack, Shack, and Benny. Those of you that watched VeggieTales with your kids when they were younger. Rack, Shack, and Benny and old King Nebi. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they in Daniel 3, they stood before Nebuchadnezzar when they would not bow. They were getting ready to be thrown into the fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, all right, who's going to save you now, boys? Who's going to do something for you now? You refuse to worship. You refuse to worship our gods. You refuse to bow down in front of me. You refuse to give me the time of day. So you know what? We're going to throw you into this fiery furnace, which is heated 7 times hotter than it normally is. It was so hot that when they opened up, it immediately fire leapt out and killed the soldiers that opened the doors. And he said, we're about to throw you in there. Who's going to save you now? And I love, love, love their answer. In verse 17, they said, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. Is able to deliver us. Let me say that again. Is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. They had no doubt that he was able. But not only that, they knew that one way or the other, they would be taken out of the king's hand, whether it be by death or be by supernatural means. They knew it was going to happen. That the king did not decide their fate, that God did. But in verse 18, these have to be my three favorite words in this entire exchange. Verse 18, it says, but if not. See, faith is a but if not faith. He's able. See, real faith, true faith, says he is able. But if not, if he doesn't do it, it's not going to change my mind. Because he's faithful. See, we live in a world now that we don't say but if not. We say, if he don't, then he can go kick rocks. If he don't show up and heal my body because I'm racked with pain, then that lets me know he doesn't care enough about me or that he's not even real. Faith is serving even in the midst of the circumstance when God doesn't show, knowing that he can. That's what true faith is. Faith is serving God even though you don't know where your next meal is coming from and don't know what you're going to do about your finances. Faith is serving God and being faithful to Him no matter what happens there because you know He can intervene when He gets ready. True faith is looking at your kids and going, you know what, I'm still going to serve God, even though they're turning their back, even though they're not following the way that they should. I'm still going to serve God. Even though they're not doing what they should be doing, I'm still going to serve God because I know He is able to touch their heart, touch their life, touch their situation, and to send healing in that situation. Can I tell you something today? Stop waiting for God to intervene on your behalf before you place your faith in Him. Stop waiting for God to show up and prove Himself to you. I'm not getting a whole lot of amens on this today. Y'all hang with me. Not every church can hear this. We need to stop looking at God and saying, if you do this, I'll serve you. If you prove this to me, I'll serve you. We need to turn that around and say, God, I'll serve you even if you don't do this. I'll serve you because true faith serves without proof. Are you with me? Our faith in Him is always required first. He proved His love once and for all with Jesus Christ. The evidence of His grace and His mercy was found in a baby in a manger that grew to be a sacrificial lamb on the cross. When we tell God, show me first, we're telling Him that Jesus wasn't enough to convince us. You show me you care about me. What was Jesus? But God proved Himself, his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In the midst of your dirtiness, in the midst of our filthy rags of righteousness, He still loved us enough to die on the cross for us. But when we tell Him, you prove it first. An empty tomb isn't convincing enough. The blood of your Son wasn't enough for me. True faith is being so sure of the unfailing nature and love of God that we don't have to see evidence to believe His word is true. That's what true faith is. Somebody say true faith. Are you with me today? This is the deeper word, but we're here to become stronger. Amen. Jesus responded to the blind men's faith. He didn't respond to their shouts. He didn't respond to the crowd that pushed them forward. He didn't respond to anything else. He responded to their faith. Their healing did not come because they were the loudest or the strongest. Their healing did not come because they did everything right. Their healing came because of one thing. He touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, be it done to you. Let me let you know something. It is not about checking off a box or going through all the motions. It's about making sure that your faith comes first. It's according to your faith what is going to be done to you. When we put our faith in His ability first, then He will display His willingness to move on our behalf. Believe He is able. Have faith that He is able. And then allow Him to move in His time. Because He will. He says, never will I leave you and never will I forsake you. Jesus asked you today, do you believe? Do you have faith that I am able? Will you say as Job did, even though he slay me, I will trust, I will hope, I will put my faith in Him. Faith comes first. We need to rediscover that faith comes first. Rediscover also that there's a difference between faith and belief. We can believe something all day long and never really have faith in that something. I have a boat at my house. Now, it's not a pretty boat. It's an old boat. It's a 1979 boat. We're talking about old. It's almost as old as I am. My wife's over here. Watch it now. But I have that boat at my house, and I can stand by that boat every single day and make claims over it. I can lay my hands on that boat and say, this boat shall work properly, Everything mechanical on it is going to work perfectly, and it's going to remain clean. It's not going to have any issues. I can stand there and say, you are going to keep me safe on the water, and you're going to protect me. I can sit there and make claims, and don't think that I haven't done this, that in the name of Jesus, this boat is going to be filled with fish when I come off the water. Matter of fact, if my son and I go tomorrow, I'll probably stand there and say that tomorrow. But as long as it sits at my house and is never put in the water, all I have is belief. I don't have faith. I have belief. I haven't proven any kind of faith with what I said. Faith is more than an intellectual agreement. There's a story, and I'm going to have to hurry. There's a story that illustrates this. Imagine, if you would, there's a man that is at Niagara Falls. And there's a tightrope that goes all the way across the falls. Okay, we've all seen specials that do that kind of thing and all that kind of stuff. But imagine that this man has this tightrope that goes all the way across the falls, and he takes a wheelbarrow, puts it on that tightrope, and walks out there. You are standing there along with a crowd that is just amazed at this guy's talent. You're standing there, and he takes that wheelbarrow, and he walks all the way across the falls and walks all the way back. Does not fall, has the wheelbarrow in front of him, goes back and forth 3 or 4 times. And then he looks at everybody and says, okay, is there anyone here that believes that I will keep you safe if you get in this wheelbarrow and I roll you across? And there's probably a lot of people that would say, yeah, I believe he would keep me safe. I believe that we would survive. I believe we would take care. But the thing is, then he says this. He says, okay, one of you that believe that, get in the wheelbarrow. I guarantee you there's nobody going to volunteer. They may believe that he can do it, but they don't have faith in him that he can do it. You see the difference between belief and faith? Faith causes action. Faith causes a response. Faith is taking your life and putting it in someone else's hands. Faith is different than belief. I can believe all day long that he can keep me safe, but until I put my life in his hands, I don't have any kind of faith in him. Throughout this Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews 11, the author names so many people that are examples. He describes them to us in verse 2. Where it says, for by faith, the people of old received their commendation. Commendation means testimony. It goes on to name them all. Abel, Enoch, Noah. Abel by faith offered a sacrifice to God, believing that it would be accepted. Enoch by faith walked with God until he was no more. By faith, Noah built a boat out in the middle of the desert when there wasn't any water or any rain anywhere close. By faith, Abraham left his hometown and left and went to be a missionary where God told him to go when he didn't tell him where to go. He just told him, here's the direction, start walking. Sarah, by faith, believed that God would bring a child into her life, and it came about. Joseph, by faith, believed that God was going to take care of him, and so many more. In each case, he preceded their story with two words, by faith. Everybody say, by faith. Then after their name, he wrote what they did. Their faith was followed by an action. Faith will always be coupled with an action. We need to understand that belief without obedience is dead faith. Every one of those mentioned received their testimony, their victory, their freedom, their inheritance, their promise, not because of their belief, but because of the faith that was coupled with action. We say, I believe, but don't couple that with walking out every single day. I believe Jesus loves me. I believe Jesus wants me to live a holy life, but I'm not willing to give him this area of my life. then you have dead faith. I believe God wants me to be prosperous and successful, but I also believe that I want to live the way that I want. Then you have dead faith. I believe God wants me to get rid of this addiction in my life, but I'm not willing to put forth any effort. If he wants it gone, he'll make it gone. That's dead faith. Are you with me? Am I yelling at you? Hang with me. James 2:19, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even demons believe that and shudder. You are in the company of demons when you say, I believe, and do not act. I'm going to move on before I lose my job. Listen, it's time to move from being... It's time to move from believing in God to having faith in God and walking, working, and living in that faith. By faith, I am covered by His blood. By faith, I walk in His healing every single day. By faith, I tell others about who He is. By faith, I will fulfill the destiny that God has prepared me for. By faith, I will sacrifice and invest in the kingdom with my time, my energy, and my treasures. By faith, I will grow stronger in Him. By faith, I will follow Him all the days of my life. It is by faith and in an action. I will. We have a tendency to say, I believe, but I'm not going to act. I believe God wants us to reach our community, but I think He's bringing them to us. I don't have to go to them. Are you with me? Rediscover that there's a difference between faith and belief. We need faith. Turn to somebody and say, we need faith. And lastly, we need to rediscover our relationship with Christ through faith. Faith is the basis of our relationship with Jesus. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through what? Faith. You're not saved through actions. It says, and this not of your own doing. In other words, not because you did something right or because you said something right. It is the gift of God so that no man can boast. Through our belief in and our belief in action, relationship is born. Faith works through the love that we have to produce tangible evidence of its existence in our lives. Galatians 5:6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. In other words, none of your works amount to a hill of beans. Doesn't matter how many Sunday school classes you teach. Doesn't matter how much money you give to the church. Doesn't matter how many times you feed the homeless. Doesn't matter how many times you pat somebody on the back. Doesn't matter what you do in the physical realm. Your faith is what builds your relationship with Christ. But only faith working through love. Faith is what pleases God, not action. Faith coupled with action. Belief coupled with action is faith. Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. Stand with me today. It is through this steadfast belief and immovable faith that we now have access to the relationship with God Himself. It's not because you're a good person. On my best day, I'm still broken and dirty. On my best day, my righteousness is still as filthy rags to Him. When He sees our faith in action, He smiles and it brings joy to His heart. How do we strengthen our walk with God then, Pastor Aaron? We strengthen our walk with God by rediscovering what true faith is. True faith comes first in our lives and isn't demanding of proof. It doesn't say, God, if you do this, then I know you're real. If you do this, I know you love me. If you do this, I know you'll take care of me. If you do this, if you save my children, then I'll serve you. If you take care of my finances, then I'll make sure to give to my tithe. If you take care of my physical body, then I will live for you all my days, and I will shout your praises from the rooftops. That's not what faith is. Faith is saying, God, I will give when I don't have it to give. Faith is saying, God, I will trust you even though I am racked with pain. Faith is saying, God, I will serve you even if my kids don't come back to you. I will still praise you because you have still died for their sins. That is faith. Faith comes first. True faith believes without physical evidence. Faith then couples with belief, couples belief with action. Moving on partial instructions and directions, trusting that the rest will be revealed in due time. It is getting in the wheelbarrow and surrendering your whole selves to the care of the one walking the rope. Jesus is walking the rope. There's danger on either side. Do you have faith that he'll keep you safe? And faith gives strength to our relationship. The more we trust, the stronger it becomes. The stronger our relationship gets.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.